Mark chapter 10 from verse 17.
And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and knew to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest."
Again.
"One thing thou lackest."
Again.
"One thing thou lackest." "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of
them
God?"
Them that do what?
That trust in riches.
That trust, they have trust in riches. He's not speaking against riches, so, but those that have trust, their trust is in riches. How hard is it for them that trust in riches to do what?
To enter into the kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
"It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God.
Hallelujah.
For with God all things are possible.
The church, we say, and may the Lord grant us understanding of what the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples. I want you to note something here. That the man was already rich with earthly goods. The way the scripture is put, verse 17.
And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and knew to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?"
Now watch it so that when you are reading the Bible, you will rightly divide the word of truth. Here, he came, the way it is put there is as if he was looking for eternal life. But the truth is, verse 21, let us know that it was not just eternal life he was looking for. 21.
Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven."
Can you see, is treasure in heaven eternal life?
No, sir.
Is treasure in heaven eternal life?
No, sir.
Okay. The man, because Jesus already knows why you are coming to church, you are coming every day, prayer. God knows the reason you come for prayer. God knows the reason that you are looking for Holy Ghost. God knows the reason. Jesus answered him very well. You are rich on earth here. Now, you are looking for the wealth of heaven, so that you will be both balanced here, and when you get there, you will enjoy the way you are enjoying here. That was what that man was looking for. And that's why Jesus told him, "Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That sell all you have, then you will have treasure. For where your treasure is not where your heart will be." Praise the Lord. What was Jesus saying here? That Jesus is saying, for you to have treasure in heaven, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. There is a principle you will follow. You are going to have treasure, wealth in heaven. There is a principle that you will follow. He only reminded him what he had spoken earlier in Matthew chapter 6. And let's take that reading again from verse 19.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth.
Listen to what Jesus is telling all of us that are chasing money up and down.
For where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters.
See?
For either he
will hate. Read this thing very, very clearly for everybody to hear. It's a serious instruction from the Lord. The words from the Lord Jesus himself, captured very well by what they call the synoptic gospels. Yes?
No man can serve two masters.
You cannot serve two masters. The effort, if you are going to be wealthy, there are efforts that you will put to become wealthy. If you are going to also have a heavenly treasure, there are going to be efforts you will put. The truth is, hallelujah, you don't have the ability to pursue the two at the same time. No human being has that ability. Go ahead.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other.
You must love one and hate the other.
Or else he will owe to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
You cannot serve earthly things and at the same time concentrate and think you will achieve anything heavenly.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?
Because that's the reason we chase all the things that we chase. And we chase them to the detriment of our souls. That is the teaching here. There is nothing wrong in being wealthy, but chasing it to the detriment of our destination, heavenly destination. That is what the problem is with man, and it still exists with every one of us here. Listening to me now. You are a man, you are a woman. Go ahead.
Verse 27. Which of you by taking thoughts can add one cubit unto his statue?
Because I had cause to point something, you know, during a counseling session to a sister during the week, even concerning marriage. If you see the way sisters, you know, get desperate to marry, the desperation until some, because it's getting late for them to marry, they even enter anxiety and depression from too much thinking, hypertension. They destroy their health with thinking, and some, just to be married, they go and enter one chance. For those of you who are not Nigerians around the world, one chance is a palace here for falling to the hands of criminals that will disarm and derobe you of every glory you have. We call it here one chance. Another language is 419. Deceive you and finish you, taking advantage of your desperation. And I say, this is how we pursue earthly things. The truth is, even when your age now has reached where you should give up and agree, say, it be like, say, me, I no go marry. It be like, say, so make a cuckoo face my life with the God, if it happen, if it not happen. Even when he reaches that, where you know you have reached menopause. Menopause. Where you know you are past childbearing biologically. You will still see them. I must marry. Marry who? Where? How? Is marriage an achievement? Not degree? No, I'm saying it. It's good to marry because the Bible even says it's not good that a man be alone. But I'm saying that if it comes, fine. If it doesn't come, fine. Everything we acquire on earth is temporary. It will end here. The day you die, that's all, it's gone. Why are you killing yourself? See the one killing themselves about children. And see, those children you acquire so much, after you die, you will have one crown at the other side of the river where you die. All vanity upon vanity. God made one man to go as a testimony for us. Solomon, wives, nyafu-nyafu. Concubines, nyafu-nyafu. Wealth, nyafu-nyafu. And then he sat down and gave us the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes and told us the principle for life. He ended up by saying, vanity upon vanity, everything on earth here is vain. Vanity. Would that guide us? And I say that there is a woman in the Bible by the name of Anna. According to the Bible, she married for only 7 years. After 7 years of marriage, her husband died. That one decided not to marry again. She went and she was living in the temple, fasting and praying all through. And the Bible called her a prophetess. Why are our own prophetess? They die for marriage. Why are you not also sacrificing yourself also, you know, for God? If the man come, fine. If the man doesn't come, it shouldn't worry you. As I read through that story of Anna, the question that came to me is, I've not seen any woman that decided, I am married to Jesus. I will serve God till I die. I don't want distraction of marriage. It's difficult. And I'm not saying you should not marry you. I'm only trying to tell you, you know, the estate of how man is so vain in everything we do until we kill ourselves over vanity. It's my land, my father's land. One brother came to me and he's going to the village. Daddy, bless this oil for me. What happened? Then tell me, say, they put something for land. For that land, 5 people don't die. Me, I say, I cannot die. Now I'm going to God. Now family land, my papa land. So I look up. I say, what do you want to go and do that? I want to go and build a house. I said, don't you have money to buy another land? Why must you go and fight for that land even to the risk of your life? I mean, why you have money to buy another land? Why not go to that same village? There are people that are selling their property. Go and buy and build now and say, take the land and go. People don't know how to live their lives on earth here. Maybe this is the healing that is coming upon one man's head now. May you receive that healing in the name of Jesus. Finish reading, please.
Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, and neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith that shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
You see? But what?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
You see?
And his righteousness.
You see?
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Hallelujah. Praise the therefore, Lord. Now it's okay, let's just stop here for now. That is the admonishment of the Lord to his disciples. If you are one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, shout hallelujah. If you are not one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, shout, I dare hear. Stand up. Who is the person? What the Lord Jesus Christ was telling the rich young man is that your decision to go to heaven will cost you something on earth here. Will cost you some things on earth here. When he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. You will not be equally loyal to the two of them. That is why economists have the law of opportunity cost. The cost of anything you have, when you have two choices, it is what you let go that is the cost of what you have in picking your choice. One must go. You cannot have the two together. You love the two, but the Lord says you can only have one. That is the law of opportunity cost. You have one, you will lose the other. You pick this one, you will lose the other one. You can only pick one, but it must be at the cost of the other one. I've said this several times. When my friend, I visited him in the office years back, I gave my life to Christ. And one beautiful girl came and visited him and that she was going. At the car park there, she passed us to go. He turned and looked at me. He said, Alu, look at her. She was shaking her bum bum and going. He said, Alu, see what you did miss now. Because me and he, we were into that before I found Christ. And I reminded him, he was my classmate. I remember in economics, the law of opportunity cost. I cannot have this one and have heaven at the same time. I have to choose one and the other one must go. So I have chosen to go to heaven. Therefore, that one, I have lost these women everywhere. Praise God. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking invariably in that parable of Matthew 13, verse 44. And verse 45.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field.
It is a treasure. It is a treasure. You know what a treasure is? Very valuable thing. Very valuable. It is sought after. If you have it, your life will be better for forever. That is how the kingdom of God is like a treasure. But it's hidden in a field. Eh?
The which when a man hath found, yes, he hide it. And for joy thereof, go out and sell it all that he hath, and buy yet that field.
You see, you will sell all that you have. Whatever it will cost you, you will do it so that you'll be able to have that treasure. And again?
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold.
He found what?
A pearl of great price.
It's a precious stone. And this precious ornament called pearl, there is a price for it. And it is very, very expensive. It is of great price.
Went and sold all that he had and bought it.
To be able to afford it, he sold all that he had to be able to have it. That is how the kingdom of heaven is. Hallelujah. The sister that you want to marry. Even in marriage, we can learn something from there. Once the bride price has been paid, you exchange your vow with the man, you forever, your parents automatically have lost, I repeat, lost their control over you. You may be living in a mansion in your parents' house, and the man that paid your bride price in one room and parlor for Ajegunle, you have lost it. You either follow that man or remain single in your mother's house, your father's house. For this sake, the man will leave his father and mother and be clean, joined to his wife because of the decision you have made. When you come to Christ, it is expected that you forsake all. Forsaking all there is the yoke. It's yoke. In Matthew chapter 19 from verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ
Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we are forsaking all.
Eh?
We are forsaking all.
They have forsaken all. It included Peter, who resigned from fishing. I'm not saying you should resign from your work. It included Matthew, who left custom service, where they collect money at checkpoints. Hallelujah. It included Zacchaeus. Pack everything when you found Jesus and return them. We have forsaken
all and followed thee.
Yes.
What shall we have therefore?
What shall we have? My emphasis there is that you are forsaking all. But the truth about it is that when you forsake these things, read on.
And Jesus
there
said,
is a reward.
And Jesus said unto them,
yes.
Verily I say unto you,
yes.
That ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And everyone that are forsaking houses or what? Brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake,
what will happen?
Shall receive an 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life.
Can you see the benefit? Can you see the benefit? I repeat, I didn't say you should pack out of your mother's household. I didn't say you should disown your father. He's talking about attachments to the detriment of your spiritual well-being, your relationship with God, your journey from earth to glory. If my father will say, unless I remain an idol worshiper with him, he will not pay my school fees. He will disown me. There are parents that disown. Remove you from inheritance because of a decision to follow Christ. That is what he means. Because you stop going to his church, you have found Christ. You don't want to remain in error. And then they decide to excommunicate you in their fellowship, whatever type of fellowship, in your family, wherever it is. That is what he means by you forsake. Because of your decision to follow Christ, don't worry. Hallelujah. Here, there is a reward that will follow you both here and hereafter. It's the assurance from the Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul is an example in Philippians chapter 3. From verse 16, what did he say?
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained.
Read it from verse 3. Let's read it. Let's take a reading so that you catch a picture of who Apostle Paul is and what he has forsaken.
For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit.
That is the Jews. We don't worship. We are no more people following the law. He has found truth. He found grace. So he's doing away with the law. You can't hold law and grace at the same time. One must go so that the other one, you will prosper. You can't hold the two. So what did he say?
For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit,
yes,
and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin.
See his qualification?
An Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee.
He was a lawyer.
Concerning zeal, persecuting the church.
He so much loved the law of Moses. He was a Mosesite. Am I correct? Mosesite. The law of Moses, they're ready to die. He was persecuting anybody against, speaking against William Branham. Finish him. We are Abrahamites. Praise God. I sent a quote of William Branham to them yesterday during Rapture Watch. William Branham said, shame on you who claim to be Christian and you will not relate to somebody because it's not your church member, because it does not belong to your denomination. No matter whether he's good or bad, your own is, as long as he's not in your group, you have nothing to do with him and you claim to be a Christian. He says, shame on you. And all of you that have cut off from Pastor Moses because he is not worshiping Branham with you, shame on you. And you claim to be a Christian, shame on you. I'm not a Muslim, but Muslims are relating with me. So you see why it is shame on you. Shame because you don't know the law of Christ. You don't know what that Bible you are holding is speaking of. It's talking about. You don't finish to read?
Verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church.
Apostle Paul, he was persecuting the church.
Touching the righteousness which is in the law.
Hey, blameless. He followed the Lord with a letter.
But what things were gained to me?
All those attainments that he achieved,
those I counted loss for Christ. Yeah.
He did what?
I counted loss for Christ.
He did what?
I counted loss for Christ.
He threw them away. He abandoned them. For what?
For Christ.
Yes.
Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord.
Do you see that verse 44 and verse 45 of Matthew 13 parable now? Does he not fulfill it? Go ahead.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things,
uh-huh,
and do count them but dung.
Counted all those things as a dung. Dung means excreta, shit, poo-poo. All his achievements that he acquired in the world. After he found Christ, he saw something better than all those achievements he had. And he pulled them away so that he can have enough time to pursue this better one that he has found. Go ahead.
That I may win Christ.
Yes.
And be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law,
uh-huh,
but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by
faith.
He was
rubbishing the law, so to say. You see why they hated him?
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings,
mm-hmm,
being made conformable unto his death,
uh-huh,
if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
That is the vision he had. That is his desire. That is what he was focusing in. Uh-huh.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ, uh-huh, Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do.
What does he do?
Forgetting those things which are behind,
uh-huh,
and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Uh-huh.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ
glory
Jesus.
Glory be to God. Because there is a reward. That prize, there's a reward. That's a reward. Uh-huh.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained,
let us do what?
Walk by the same rule.
The same rule?
Let us mind the same thing.
If we all mind the same thing, and that thing we are minding is heaven. I am telling you, our relationship with each other will be better than it is now. There is a difference between a church and a social group, social gathering, political gathering, political party, any social association. It's different from the gathering called church. Among them there, the scheme to bring one down so that they will be leader, the scheme against one another so that one will be better, they show off there, they play politics. When you come to church, Satan wants to reduce the church to that same kind of setting. Watchmen. He said, we are watchmen. What are we watching? Ministers, pastors. What are we watching? One of the things that we must watch, which I fell victim of, that I did not watch. Watch is that small, small. That the church will be reduced to a social gathering. We have people come here and display the latest cloth they wear, they have. We have people begin to clownish themselves. You never reach our level. Why you associate with this one? We never reach our level. You have the high class group and the low class group. We are you. I have declared Brother David my enemy. I am fighting with him. If you are associating with him, you too, you become my enemy. Witch. You know, I hope you know that's witchcraft. Hallelujah. I had a comedian speaking some time ago where he said he was talking about witch. He said that if your neighbor is happy and you are sad, that means you are a witch. If your neighbor is happy and you are sad because he's celebrating, and you begin to speak negatively, and because of this new car, my own too is coming now. Very soon I will have my own now. Is that why you are doing? Man, you go see my own now. If somebody is making such statement, he's a witch. Anytime you say, "Hey, I've gotten a visa," and the next statement that your friend or your neighbor will tell you, say, "We too, we will soon get our own. I rejoice with you." It's a lie. And he said another thing. He said, and that is, this comedian, sometimes they can really be funny. He said, if NEPA take light, and you open your window to see whether your neighbor get light, he said, you're a witch. I don't know whether you catch the joke he was saying. If there is no light in your place, everybody too must not have light. Why are you expecting to see whether they serve they get light? Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ therefore made this statement in verse 29, verse 30.
And if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee.
Now this offending you there is hindering you, disturbing your spiritual progress.
For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell.
What he's saying is, make sure nothing disturbs your spiritual progress, your spiritual focus. Among the things, therefore, we are warned to be careful with is the love of money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, read it from verse 6 if you can. The
but love godliness, of money. But listen, godliness with contentment.
We are to serve God with what?
Godliness.
Contentment.
Contentment is great gain.
Contentment, be satisfied. Covetousness. There are things that you chase after that you know you don't even need it. Yet you're having sleepless night to acquire it. Godliness with contentment is what?
Is great gain.
Go ahead.
For we brought nothing into this world.
This is the principle. This is the foundation for our faith. For you to be more focused. Have this in your mind. We brought nothing into this world. And he emphasized. And it is certain
that we can carry nothing out.
We are carrying nothing when we die from this earth. We are carrying nothing. Nothing. In the rapture. Even in the rapture, you are not going with anything. Anything. You are not going with it. Even this body where you paint every time. Paint. Put a false eyelash or false everything. Everything. All the bleach where you bleach your skin. Everything. Your cream alone in a month, 100 and something thousand naira to take care of your skin. All, even that skin in a moment will be changed. In a twinkle of an eye will be changed. For this mortality shall put on immortality. Hallelujah. Even this body, we are not going with it. We are going to be delivered from this body. We will leave it on earth here because everything here is earthly. That's why when you die, you will dust anyway. You will fall from the dust. Dust will return. Put that dead body there. Put any chemical you put there. There are the skin worms are inside of you. God has created you with the worms inside of you to return you to where you came from. How can you have this knowledge and live the kind of vanity life that many of us live? Read on.
Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare.
All those who pursue money, pursue. There is danger in pursuing this earthly wealth the way many of us do. What?
And into many foolish and hurtful lusts.
They are the ones that fall into temptations and the snares, and into many foolish and, hurtful lusts. We drown men in destruction and perdition.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
You see?
Which was some converted after. They have erred from the faith.
From the faith, because the two cannot go together.
And pierce themselves through with many sorrows.
Read on.
But thou, O man of God.
That is the admonishment of the Spirit of God through Apostle Paul.
Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Do you see? He said, fight the good fight of faith. It's not to carry gun and machete. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not even talking about warfare prayer. The fight there is the attractions of this world to be able to resist it. It's a great fight. It's a great fight. But it's a good fight of faith. It's a good fight. Always note that James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4.
Ye adulterers.
Verse 4. Yes?
Ye adulterers and adulteresses.
You see, he's not talking about people who carry people's wives.
Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
It is friendship of the world. You are married to Jesus, spiritual, the Spirit of God. And you are You belong to the kingdom of heaven, married to Jesus, and then you are flirting with the world. Before God, you are an adulterer. Before God, you are a fornicator. Go ahead.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Verse 4. I'm quoting verse 4.
Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Uh-huh.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?
Uh-huh.
But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Hallelujah. Listen very well. Friendship of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how to say what I want to say, but I don't want to be misunderstood. And I pray that I can balance it. Jesus Christ was to be crowned a king by the Jews. He refused. He refused. Hallelujah. I'm talking of friendship of this world. But can't you see pastors are resigning from ministry to go and be king of their nation, their village? They are everywhere. They are everywhere. Pastor. Then there is the other one, at least the recent one, he resigned to go to become king. He was nominated. Now watch it. He was not just nominated, though. He was not just called to come, though. It was competition. Even the other parties say, we know creed, they are going to court. So that you will be the custodian of the tradition of your people. The same thing. Oh, glory be to God. There is another one that was in the enter message in Bagada. There, it was the biggest enter message church before, years back. He held both to the pulpit and was the essay of his village. I think it's in Bise also. Somewhere in Bise. And they were in court. Oh, they fought. Now listen very well. These people, you can deceive man and use rhetorics and feign words, smartness, and justify a Christian taking up such a position. But God knows all things. This entire message, he was pastoring a church, very respected pastor. And he went and competed. They went to court. They were fighting. And now he died. He died. They don't let the church near the courts. The burial, church had no hand in it. It was the traditional people that buried him with the kind libation to the forefathers of the land, an invocation, an incantation, and they locked him in a room and did all the rituals. No pastor was allowed to go there. They know their own. You don't know who your papa is until he died. Then you see some people dress one kind, tell you, hey, he belonged to us, he was part of us. You will say, ah, they will warn you. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is no Christian, I repeat, there is no true Christian they will belong to a political party, and the political party will sponsor you to a political office if you do not compromise your faith in one way or the other. In one way or the other, you must compromise an aspect of your faith. While you be deceiving us that you are going there so that you will convert all of them. Praise God. I wish it is true. If you have the ability to go and become the king of your village and throw away all those idols, build a church in the palace instead of a shrine. The crown they are going to put on your head, let it not come from a deity. Carry microphone every time in your palace and be organizing crusade. Let all the shrines be turned to churches. If you can do that, I will clap for you. I'll be praying for you. I will say, everybody, go and be the king of your village. If you can, we will sponsor you to become king. But you and I know it is not possible. You try that, they will kill you. But why struggling to be there? Friendship of the world. You want to be recognized. You want the royalty, the recognition that goes with it, and sometimes to the detriment of your soul. That is where it is. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Not just love of money. Include fashion. Fashion, worldly fashion. Worldly positions, like I've spoken. Praise the Lord. Your relationship with Christ is a spiritual marriage. Nothing is to be allowed to put asunder the relationship between you and Christ. Hallelujah. But they will do anything at all to occupy that office they're looking for, to get that appointment they're looking for. When the Bible says, be you not unequally yoked, you know the meaning of yoke. You enter a vow and agreement and swear so that you will occupy a certain space, so that he will become your godfather. You have no godfather in Nigeria, you cannot occupy any political office. The structure is designed to achieve that. You must belong to a political party, and the political party has their leaders, has their founders. They decide who should be who. And I don't know any political leader in Nigeria, for instance, that is born again. Okay, now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I saw one time, one governor in one of these states in the West here. I want to remember his name. He's a popular man. He said, I saw him. He's a Christian. Even his wife is a Deeper Life member and a prophetess. And he said it. The wife prophesied to him that you were going to be governor. And it came to pass exactly as the wife prophesied. The wife is the intercessor. Thank you. Thank you. Fire your shame. That's the man, yes. Hallelujah. I saw him during Eid al-Fitr, the Muslim celebration. He was in the mosque. We are one. I am a leader of everyone. So if you go to a mosque, it means when traditional people are doing their own, he will be there too. And that is how every leader is supposed to be. Every political leader, you are not supposed to let your faith take advantage over others. If you're a Muslim, you must identify with the Christians. You must identify with the traditional people. When Muslims are celebrating, you will send goodwill wishes to the Muslims. You are a Muslim, Christians are doing, send goodwill so that they can vote you again. You remain in power. You vote your party. That's why I say you will compromise your faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see the difference between Paul. Paul declared his own openly. And they kicked him out of the Sanhedrin council. Even looking for him to kill him. But there's another one that sneaked by night. What is his name? Nicodemus. He doesn't want the people to see. If they see him identifying with the Christ, they will excommunicate him. So that he will retain his position, he sneaked in the night to come. And then after, go back there. He believed that is a master sent from God. What you are saying is the truth. But, if I let these people know, the same thing, this thing we are preaching now, somebody, you are watching me now, you know you belong to a denomination, and you jam us by virtue of what you hear from us, you have known your denomination is in error. But, now them employ you. But, you are in this position. If I leave now, where will I go? Listen, you are the one the Lord had in mind in Exodus chapter 21. Please help me read it from verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Uh-huh. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself.
Now, when freedom comes, what are you to do? As you enter that place, that is how you should live. Anything you acquire, leave it there. Now that they say you are free from slavery, you are a slave to your denominational master. You thought you were serving God. Your eye opened, you discover you were serving that ministry and not God. Leave now. Now then give me car. Now then give me house. Now then sponsor my children. Where will I go? Where will I go? Then you remain there. Read on.
Verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master.
I love my master.
My wife and my children.
I will not go.
I will not go out free.
The reason he loves them is not because they are very good. How can a slave love slavery? Every slave wants freedom. You are not sincere. You counted the cost. And you found out that it's better to remain a slave. Master, I love you. I love you. Go ahead.
Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
For no more freedom for you. Opportunity has come for you to serve God acceptably. You have heard the voice of truth, and you are still hooking onto that man you are serving. Some of you, the only reason you leave your church is because somebody gave you prophecy. They won't kill you for that church. Since you know one day, I make you run. There was one spirit that found his way into this church to some few years back. They were going, hey, you're there here? Then they use your glory for the church. Hey, you're there here? They won't kill you. Wait till I see. This year you did die. Then they carried their bags, they ran away. Okay now. As you run away because you know one that there's another death that is coming. Don't worry. You will soon know. And that is why I made a statement that you may leave a church, but don't leave Christ. If for any reason you are no more comfortable worshiping, you are not receiving here anymore, and you still stay here, you are in bondage. Look for a better place where you can have spiritual freedom and go. You are in bondage if you don't believe. You inside your heart, sister, you wear trousers, they paint the face. But here, now one thing make you stay here. You know, that's why you never go. You are in bondage. Now I have given you freedom. You better go. And we will not stop praying for you. Anytime you have a problem, you come here, we will pray for you. Anything you look for, we will give you. After all, do we have power to heal you? Do we have power to deliver you? You are even the ones that immediately you come, prophet will see vision for you. Now he cooked the vision. Now God now, don't stay here if you are not comfortable. You are in slavery. You are sure your spiritual life will be better anywhere. Go. Don't stay in this church, bride assembly, that is Jubilee. I've released you now. If I hear you grumble, this church itself, they don't take care of anybody. They don't care. You better leave and go to where you'll be taken care of. Because it's what you're looking for that determines where you stay. If you're looking for where they will take care of you, and in bride assembly, they don't take care of you. In your church, they don't take care of you. Why are you still coming there? Look for where they will take care of you. OPM. OPM, Abby? OPM. Hey, that kind of church, go there. They'll take care of you. Praise. Why this man, they talk like this? Now, truth that they preach. I want to release you to be free. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to release you to be free. A sister left here now and went to join a woman pastor. A woman pastor is now her pastor. Now here she do. Now here she marry. Now here she grow up. Now if they come here from children's church, grow rich, so you would say she didn't hear it. And she went now. I even said for her, come, I want to know why you left the church. She no agree come. But when trouble come, now me the first call. I said, babe, give me the address of the house. And they eventually said, no need. We are driving her to the church. Now me still pray for them to be free. Praise the Lord. I didn't say, you are no more with me. I will not pray for you. Oh, no. I'm not that type of Christian. Praise the Lord. I am not that type of Christian. And after praying, when she was going, I said, greet your pastor, Sister Deborah. Greet her, greet her. Prophetess Deborah is your pastor, Abi. Go greet her for me. He said, daddy. I said, greet her well for me, Prophetess Deborah is her pastor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You receive freedom, you know, because of food you will eat. You lose your birthright. Esau, one day you will search for it, you will never get it. Forever you will serve, you remain a slave to that denomination and end up where the spirit of error is packing all of you to. It will not be your portion in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, 25, 26.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples,
yes.
If any man will come after me,
yes.
Let him deny himself.
You are to deny yourself.
And take up his cross and
Hallelujah.
Follow me.
When he said deny yourself, the other scripture say, forsake your father and mother. This one now, including yourself now. Deny yourself and do what?
Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it.
Okay.
And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Glory be to God. Listen to verse 27.
For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works.
There's going to be a reward. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Lumides, we were talking about the priesthood of a Christian. And what came to my mind is, You know, the Bible calls us that we are a royal priesthood. And I know that in Leviticus chapter 14, I think verse 27, listen.
And the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand.
Leviticus chapter 14.
Yes, sir.
Is it chapter 14 or chapter 12, verse 27? Or Deuteronomy? Is it Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 14. Okay. There's a scripture like that.
Deuteronomy 14, 27.
Yeah, Deuteronomy, not Leviticus. Deuteronomy 14, verse 27. Listen to that commentary there.
And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee.
Now, do you know what? If you're a priest, can I see your hand up? Royal priesthood, can I see your hand up? See your hand up. Put down your hand. Listen. When they were sharing inheritance in the land, there is a tribe that God reserved to serve him. And one of the things that will cost them in serving him fully is that they will own nothing on earth.
That's right.
They own nothing. They had no inheritance on earth. Why? He chose them. Of all the families of Israel, he chose this one to be his own. Oh, glory be to God. And you are a royal priesthood. Of all the families of the earth, he has chosen you. We are choosing generation. And a royal priesthood. Go back to the Old Testament and see how the priests related with God. Chosen ones. So that you'll be careful about the things you pursue up and down and still think that you are a priest. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, 9, 10.
Be sober. Listen. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Listen to verse 9 again.
Whom resist steadfast.
You are to resist him. See, it's not only witches and wizards. They are these worldly attractions, loss of the eyes, deceitfulness of riches that choke you from progressing spiritually. Resist steadfastly.
In the faith.
Yes.
Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren.
You are not only the one going through it. All the brethren are going through it. Yes.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus.
Listen very well. Listen to what he say here.
After that ye have suffered a while.
After that you have done what?
Suffered a while.
Because this decision is going to cost you something. After you have suffered, but it is for a while. The songwriter says it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear faith, all sorrows will erase. So gladly run the race till we see. These are people who understood the principle for salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God,
yes,
that you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice. Denying yourself. Denying yourself. Such things. That is the living sacrifice. And do what?
Holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect
will of God. When Jesus Christ said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and you come. The evidence that you have actually responded to that call is a life of total submission and humility. It's total submission when you will come to him for him to have his way and give you the reason why he called you. And when you come, he will do something around you that you will be dead completely to worldliness and the world system. You only live your life here, the life of contentment, not risking your life, fighting for the things people of the world fight. They have no hope beyond here. But you have a better hope than what is going on here. And that is what is demonstrated by the ordinance of water baptism. That is what is demonstrated in Romans chapter 6. The deadness to the world, deadness to every carnality. Verse 3 to verse 6.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father,
you see,
even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Uh-huh.
For if you have been planted together in the likeness of his death,
uh-huh,
we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Uh-huh.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
You see, carnal man, that the body of sin might be
destroyed.
And he said what?
That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Hallelujah. Serving mammon. Serving mammon, you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. And so, to get the picture a little bit clearer, why Jesus Christ says, you have kept all the law. You don't steal, you don't kill, you don't lie, you don't commit fornication, you pay your tithe regularly, you do this, you do that, according to the law, you kept everything. And yet he said, there is still one thing still that you lack. Hallelujah. The rich young ruler. What is actually trying to tell him that all these things, oh glory be to God, no man can qualify to go to heaven with only these qualifications that you have. That you don't lie, that you don't steal, you don't kill, you don't gossip, you pray, you fast regularly, you live a very holy life according to you. Amen. All this that you saw in the law, this thing that you people were keeping in the law, wash your hand before you eat, bring sacrifices every time, all that Moses said, Apostle Paul also boasted with it. You are boasting that you are keeping the law. He says, hallelujah, this alone cannot qualify you. There is still something that you must be found. Hallelujah. You must have a certain quality. There is an achievement. There is also something else. You must come to that estate. Hallelujah. That thing. Hallelujah. That thing. You lack it. You lack it. And listen. Hallelujah. No man that has worldly acquisitions, no man that is wealthy, no man can give up the wealth that he fought for, that he worked for, and throw it away because you want to serve God. You have all the ability to do what you want to do, to make money. But the way to make that money is hindering you. Don't you be pushing. Some of you, not only Sunday you come to church. No, be sincere with yourself. It's not only Sunday you come to church and you have a reason. You have a reason. Because you have to go to work. Money. You have to go to... hallelujah. You have to go to your business. You have to open your shop. So you cannot come for evening Bible study. You can't close your shop and come to church. But even on Sunday self, you are timing yourself because there's one business meeting. And one sister did not allow service to finish last Sunday. Now she tell me about herself, oh, you hear me now. You say you get one business meeting, where you get? So before church finish, you took off money. Okay now. Hallelujah. No man can say, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. No man has the ability to throw all this and fulfill that condition that Christ gave that rich man. No man. It is even easier. Hallelujah. For, what did he say? The camel to go through the eye of the needle. Because there are a lot of obstacles. There's one lump here. If this one go, that one go hook up. So he go come back. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, right? Than, although some people say it is used to describe a particular gate in Jerusalem. When you come in, you go. It's okay. But for the purpose of my message, I'm looking at it literally. Than for a rich man to go to heaven. And the disciples say, if it is so, then who can be saved? Because they know their weaknesses. If money and all the worldly contentment will even hinder you again from going to heaven, we think saying that poverty, now they make people not go heaven looking for food to eat. Now this person is rich and it's still difficult to go to heaven. So who then can be saved? And he said, with men it is not possible, but with God. But with God, all, not some, all things are possible. Let that man meet with God. Let that man meet with God. There is something that God will do to that person. You are still chasing all these worldly things to the detriment of your soul. It's because you have not had a genuine experience with him. When Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus met with him, something happened. Let that same rich man meet with Christ the way Apostle Paul met with him. Let that rich man be among those that went to the upper room on the day of Pentecost and experience what everybody experienced there. He will also count all his wealth as dung. That's why, Master, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. Nicodemus, Jesus said, except a man be born again, you can never see. You can't understand the things of God. You can't understand the things of the kingdom. Except you undergo the process of being born again by water and by the Spirit, you can never enter. You can't be part of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Except you have received the Holy Ghost. That is the difference between the law and grace. Law is you making your effort. But grace is no longer you. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is why you need the Holy Ghost. Don't try. Pastor Moses said, you will soon be tired. You will regret. You will be abusing me later when you begin to count your losses. But let God meet with you by a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That is what God, Christ, was telling the rich young ruler. Telling his disciples. You see that man that is going, he has no ability to obey what I'm telling him. But let him meet with God. Oh, let a man meet with God. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. And that is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is the power of transformation. For with God, without God, we can do nothing. Without God. But with God, nothing is impossible. With God. Hallelujah. And so when you go praying and asking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are asking for power to do his will. You are asking for the power to make you to be dead to the world and alive to Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. That was the thing that man still lacked. And that is the thing that many of us chasing all these worldly things. That is what we lack. What you are telling that man is, you need grace. You need grace. Hallelujah. God's ability to be heavenly minded and earthly dead to vanities. That is the work of the Holy Ghost. The only difficult part is your ability to make that decision. To make a decision to step forward for Christ to do that work on you. To answer that call. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. It's not an easy decision, certainly. It's not an easy decision. That's why he said, remember lost wife. Some come to the altar. Some get everything at all. They made up their mind to live. But the coming to Christ is not with leg. It's a condition of the heart. Lot's wife looked back. What was she looking back at? She was looking up back at her jewelry. She was looking up back at those fine clothes she had. At her property, she was a landlady with many houses in Sodom. Fire will soon come to Sodom. Get out. You are living now. You see now. You are not living with anything. God didn't say, pack your money. Pack anything. They just held him by the hand and threw them out of the city. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have testimony of others. Verse 8, 9 and 10.
Listen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called.
He is the father of faith. He is the father of faith. And in him, in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham is our father of faith. Go ahead, see his commentary.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went.
Is he not where we are going? We too, we are going to a place for us to inherit.
By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise.
See how he lived in that land. How did he live?
As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
And yet Abraham was very rich. But the lifestyle he lived, hallelujah, he lived like a stranger, like a stranger. That's why I love Igbo people as a tribe. No matter what money they are making in Lagos here, they are here a stranger. They will never fail to tell you we are in Lagos, but we are Igbos. No matter what they have here, anything they have here is to use it to make money. They will build houses, so the plot of land they have, they will never use the whole plot of land for them to build where they will live. They will cut it and then build some that they will rent out to make money. They are living there. Now, Igbo spirit be that, and it is very good. Hallelujah. But go to their village and go and see the mansion that they built there. Oh, yes. That is how Christians are supposed to live. Read on, brother.
Verse 10. For he looked for city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Because he saw something. He knew there is a city that we are going to. God gave him that revelation. That city is not this earth. There's nowhere like it. And so what happened? Go to verse 13.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises.
Okay, now.
But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims.
They are strangers and pilgrims by the life they lived
on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
Okay.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Oh,
for he had prepared
for
them.
We are not ashamed of the lifestyle we are living here. After all, the cross is a symbol of suffering and shame. But we love it. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, After he mentioned all that, verse 1 and verse 2, he called them clouds of witnesses. We are not the first. We are not the first, though.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are to look unto who? In addition to the clouds of witnesses, there is one song that Pastor Olumide sang in our hymn book. And that must be the attitude of everyone that comes to Christ. It's total submission. He says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. He said, we're not singing it, I'm just reading it. He said, take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let them sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer my own will. Take my heart and it is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet is treasure stored. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. That is the attitude that will give you the power to conquer this. Remember, the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. Come to me, if you don't come, he won't give you eternal life. Throw it away and come to me. If you throw it away and you come, he will give you. All our prayer every day is, let my will be buried in your will. I want to be a robot for Jesus. Hey. Hallelujah. Total submission. Total submission. I made a comment during the rapture watch yesterday. For those of you who didn't hear me, the live program. The problem we have in the Christian faith is the pulpit. You are a product of what you hear from the pulpit. That's the truth. When all a man tells you that the evidence that God is with you is that you will prosper, you will do everything. All the testimony in that type of church is, I've built a house, I have done this, I have 4 cars, I have this, I have that. Instead of them to point you to him, they are bolting you to the earth. Our ministry is to lose every bolt that is bolting you to earth, so that when you hear, come up hither, nothing will hinder you. We are gone. It's determined by what we say from the pulpit. And the problem is simple. When a man is not born again first, before he becomes a pastor, he will mess up the gospel. When a man does not know the way to heaven, how will he lead you to heaven? When a man has not met with Christ, how will he be able to describe him to you? That is the problem. And what you do, and it's to the shame of all of us. Now, you use a derogatory statement for me. When you look at my life, and you say, he's a malam now, he's a malam. Now, when you use that word malam, I explained yesterday, the word malam is used by you people here in the South in a derogatory manner that these foolish people, you are the wise, they are foolish. Okay. But the truth is this. What you call foolish, God too is foolish. But the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel, God saves. God has the power to save people by his power. He's still sending people, go and preach. It's not foolishness, go and preach. Okay. Now, the nature of their culture in the north there, Malam, you use it derogatorily, Malam is Mr. In Hausa, is Mr. If it's a woman, you call her Mrs. In Hausa, they call her Malama. Okay, that is Malam, is Mr. All right. Now, the Hausa culture is consumed by Islamic religion. And so, their tradition is tailored towards the Islamic faith. And so, this is it. You know, they so believe their Quran, the Quran teaches vanity. While you go to a Pentecostal church, you go to a denominational church, you see special seat for mommy and daddy. They sit on comfortable seat, and the church members that give them tithe and offering, they are sitting on benches. On comfortable seat, they are sitting on. Did you ever go, have you ever gone to a mosque and see special seat for imam? The president, a Muslim, when he goes to the mosque, is on the floor. Everybody is on the floor. And no matter how rich you are, once you die, they will wrap you in one cloth and dump you there. It is only Christian, and they won't even let you stay more than 24 hours, they drop you. It's only Christian that will keep it and begin to plan and do all the ceremonies and do all the ceremonies that so you and that Muslim now who has revelation of life pass, you say he's a malam. That is the problem. You think I am a malam. I am not a malam. It's a revelation. I have a product. I have my life is a reflection of what I understand to be life when I am a Christian. When I have a need, God will supply. I have too many testimonies. We didn't borrow one cover to build this place. Even when we were offered, I refused. We have a beautiful place. Anytime we have a need, there will be a supply, including me. If I have a need, God supplies. And that is why I say, I don't have enemies because you refuse to help me. You are not the source of my help. I will not hate you. I will not fight you because you needed my help. I could not help you. That's the truth. If I was expecting you to help me, you refuse to help me. It simply means you are not the one ordained to help me. Praise the Lord. There are people sitting there in this church that have money. Shishi. They don't pray for any project in this church. And we know them.
We know them.
We discuss behind. They talk about you people. Yes, sir. When those in charge will say, but what of social person? What of social person? I said, if you look up to them, then you take your eye away from God. Hallelujah. They may be using their money and serving God in another way. And they don't owe you explanation. But let me quickly tell you that as I spoke last week, that the gift of help is also a gift of the Spirit. If God makes you wealthy, I am telling you, it is for two reasons. It will take care of yourself, which is the third reason. It will take care of yourself and all your needs. But always, you always have more than you need. That's why you are wealthy. The second reason is to help the poor. the poor children among you. And the third reason is so that the needs of the ministry can be met through your offerings. Use it the way you want. One day, what I am telling you, you will account for it. For now, it's total submission, total surrender. And you will soon find out that you will have the ability to forsake everything and hold on to God. I didn't say you should throw away. It's a condition of the heart. It's a condition of the heart. Now don't chase these worldly things to the detriment of your soul. And if you have such covetous spirit as your weakness, then you are the one that need a second dose of the Holy Ghost. You need to surrender totally. Can we stand up? Hymn number 25, all to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender.
now.
gardener. Now who knows all my weakness? Hallelujah.